Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. Well, Mother's Day messages. Short is always important. I have a roast on. These are instructions that I have received along the way from my wife and other mothers. This isn't a day to hurt anybody. So that's my challenge this morning, to be nice. What a challenge it is. Hey, I tell you what I want to do. I actually want to start off this morning. I'm always very sensitive to the fact that on Mother's Day, that there are those in the church family who have lost their mothers. And, you know, as these holidays roll around, then as everybody is celebrating, it's kind of a mixed thing for those who have lost their moms. I would like for us this morning, and this is part of the message, but it's maybe the best part of the message. And I would like for about four people, what we'll do is we'll take one from each one of the sections down here. Sorry, you folks up there. If I climb the stairs, then I'm shot. So we'll do this down here on the main floor. But I'd like for somebody in each one of these sections to stand up and just give us a couple of phrases and help us to know your mom. Now, these individuals, your mom has passed. And you would just give us a couple of phrases that would help us to know who your mom was. There's somebody over here that can help us. Is this challenge too big? Okay, here we go. Whoop.
What was her name?
Annabelle.
Annabelle
Peters. She's the guiding light of my world.
Say that again.
The guiding light of my world.
Oh, guiding light of my world. Oh, yes. Somebody else over here? Anybody in the center section? Come on, it's Mother's Day. Here we go. Don't preach, Cindy.
My mom was Van Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
She was my strength. She was my corrector. And she was my truth speaker.
Strength, corrector, truth speaker. All right. And guiding light. Who over here? There's no, well, I'll get over there. I'm coming, Tom. Is anybody in this section? You've lost your mom and you'd like to remember her? Go ahead and stand up.
See this?
I know, I'm about an inch taller.
Yeah. Well, my mom was just love. I mean, she loved everybody. And so that was dwelled in us, that we should just love. And I'm just thankful for my mom. That's just who she was.
That's a pretty good handle to be love. All right. I'm coming, Tom. Are you ready?
She was laughter. She light up a room, and she loved people unconditionally.
Cool. So now we know where you got it. Yeah. All right. You know, sometimes you can tell the mom by the kids. That's not always the case, but sometimes. You know, it's important for us to have a good reputation. You know? But one thing is certain. We all have a reputation. Good or otherwise. And this morning, I felt very led to talk to you for a few minutes under this title, Famous Mothers. But here's the reality. If you actually look up the word famous means public estimation or reputation. So, in saying that, every mother is famous. Okay? You can think about it. Let me give you some other folks. General Montgomery, or Field Marshal Montgomery, wrote, "Certainly I can say that my own childhood was unhappy. This was due to a clash of wills between my mother and myself. My early life was a series of fierce battles from which my mother invariably emerged the victor. If I could not be seen anywhere, she would say, 'Go find out what Bernard is doing and tell him to stop it.'" For those of you that may have a child like that, there's hope. I mean, he became one of the most famous generals in all of England. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, and as she was being sworn in to the highest court of the land, she said, "I have a last thank you. It's to my mother, Cecilia Amster Bader, the bravest and strongest person I have known, who was taken from me much too soon. I pray that I may be all that she would have been had she lived in an age when women could aspire and achieve and daughters are cherished as much as sons." Winston Churchill, "My mother shone for me like the evening star. I loved her dearly, but at a distance. My nurse was my confidant. It was to her I poured out my many troubles." It's interesting to me, in just these few words, and even the words that we have heard here this morning, you can immediately formulate a picture of that person. Even if you've never seen them before or never seen a picture of them, in your mind's eye, you formulate an opinion and a picture of who that person is or was. We are all in the midst of establishing our reputation. This is an ongoing work. Now, I'll just tell you right up front here this morning, what I am going to do in these next few moments is I want to share with you about three lives from the Word of God, the Old Testament, but whose reputations have carried through the New Testament and are still very relevant to us today. Before I do, let me tell you about 8-year-old Molly. She brought a report card home from school, and her marks were not that good. Oh, no, her marks were good. But her teacher had written across the bottom, "Molly is a smart little girl, but she has one fault. She talks too much in school. I have an idea I'm going to try, which I think may break her of the habit." Molly's dad signed the report card, putting a note on the back, "Please let me know if your idea works on Molly. If it does work, I'd like to try it on her mother." And I suppose the question that's kind of on the table, Mom, and please know as I lay down these various traits of these three gals that we're going to talk about today, Sarah, Rahab, and Ruth, that as we look at the traits of their lives, that
These are not just things to aspire to, but it's life. It's a life lived. Well done, Steve. You went over and sat down with your mom. I like that. That's great. Let's look first at Sarah. You would go to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, the 15th to the 23rd chapter. And I'm not going to take you there this morning except by telling you a little bit of her story. If you go to Genesis, you would find that she was a beautiful woman. And it doesn't amaze me that she was a beautiful woman, but it amazes me that she was a... Oh, I can't say that right. No. Well, maybe it'll amaze you too. At the age of 66 years old, she was so beautiful that Abraham, when they went down because of the famine in Israel down to Egypt, Abraham called her his sister because he knew that every man would want her. And he was afraid that they would kill him. And sure enough, Pharaoh got word of her incredible beauty and called and had her brought to his palace. Problem was that then boils broke out in his whole household, and he realized something was wrong, and then he found out that she was Abraham's wife and not just his sister. That's only part of the story. The next part of the story is the fact that when she was 91 years old and pregnant. Those two don't usually go together. 91 years old and pregnant. And Abimelech saw her beauty and took her into his household to make her his wife. It wasn't until he began having trouble. The Lord woke him up in the middle of the night, or gave him a dream in the middle of the night, and told him, you're getting ready to destroy your whole nation because you have just taken this man's wife. And so he said to Abraham, he said, why did you do this to me? This is an incredible lady. When the Lord told her at age 90 that she was going to have a baby, she laughed. Now, to me, that makes sense. But the angel of the Lord said, you laughed. And she said, no, I didn't. This is a little sidebar, but let me give you a piece of advice. You can't lie to the Lord. I love it because the scripture just says, yes, you did. And that was the end of it. So then she finds herself at 91 years old, expecting a child. Now, I tell you those pieces because I think that they're very important. First of all, would you ladies agree with me that she might have a little reason to be upset with her husband? I mean, two times the guy denied that she was his wife. Why? Because he was afraid for his own safety. You know, we take some of these characters in the Bible and we lift them up onto these high pedestals, and it's like they're perfect. Abraham, father of the nation of Israel. Not always the bravest of men. Not to mention the fact that she went 90 years barren, wanting a child. And it wasn't until her 91st year that she was able to give birth to a child. How many would, maybe this is just me, but I would think a little bit of resentment would grow. Maybe somewhere around the 70th year, 75th year. What do you think? I mean, you'd begin to write off the whole possibility, and maybe there was some blame of God. You'll understand this better as I start giving you these, you know, these traits that carried through. She had every reason to have been a different type of woman. If she was looking for an excuse to have been bitter and mean and on and on and on, she could have justified it by the things that were happening in her life. But we go to the New Testament and we see that, like in Romans chapter 9, verse 9, "For this is how the promise was stated. At the appointed time I will return and Sarah will have a son." We see that she was a mother of promise. So, you know, I'm not sure I can relate to that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with propriety." That word means quality of person. So in other words, if you reckon with what your reputation will be, with what people will think of you, of what you're leaving behind, what is the legacy that you're leaving of who you are, you got to realize that even today, as mothers of faith, you're a mother of promise. God has good things for you. I said, God has good things for you. If you'll let God, He'll bless you like you could never be blessed in any other way. So it begins with a trust of His promises that say, He cares, He loves you, He'll never leave you, He will walk with you always. You can call upon the name of the Lord. The second thing that I see here, we see in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He says, and you'll love this one. Get ready to shout, ladies. This is incredible. Are you ready? Take a good deep breath as I'm reading this, because you're just going to want to shout me down. 1 Peter 3, 5 and 6, "For this is the way holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master." Sharon asked me never to ask her to do that. Oh, never mind. "You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." This mothers of submission. If you would think, and this is the reason why I gave you a little background about Sarah. She had every right in the natural to have not been submissive to her husband, to have been rebellious, to have been bitter. Come on, folks. Don't you agree? Can you nod your head? Yeah. Do you? No? Yes? I mean, two times her husband sends her off with somebody else because he was afraid for his own skin. Read the book. There's no other reason. It's not like he had some great godly purpose that he was fulfilling by sending his wife off to Pharaoh or to Abimelech. He was just scared for his own skin. Guys, we don't do that. Come on. Amen, guys. We don't do that. Honey, there's somebody breaking in. Go down and see who it is. No, that won't work. She would turn over and go, "You go see who it is." Hebrews 11:11 says, "By faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise." Now, I don't want to upset anybody's cart here, but do you know that that is not what the original Greek says of this verse? Now, let me read it to you one more time, and then let me tell you what the actual language that the Bible was written in says. Because here's where some male translators made it fit to their mindset. Listen to it once more time. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Now, help me for just a moment, but doesn't that kind of elevate Abraham? Okay? Now, there's lots more that he is elevated, but in this particular verse, here's what the actual Greek translation says. By faith also herself, Sarah, power for conception of seed received. Sarah. By faith also herself, Sarah, power for conception of seed received. In other words, Sarah had the faith. It doesn't say that Abram didn't, because in other places we know that he did. But in this particular verse, it is saying Sarah had faith that she could have a child at 91 years old. Come on, gals. And even beyond time of her age gave birth, since faithful she deemed the one having promise. So in other words, she reached out and accepted the promise that the Lord had given to her, and it was counted to her as faithfulness. Now, gals, that is something that every single mother in this room can possess. And that is to take the promises of the Lord that He has given to you, and determine in your heart and in your life that He is great enough, powerful enough to fulfill what He has promised. I don't know. All those promises? Yes, every single one of them. I believe that Sarah received the blessing of childbirth because she believed that God could do what He said He would do. What incredible miracle do you need in your life or in your family? God's still able. Come on. I said, God's still able. If you moms will believe the promise that God has given to you. Okay. Rahab. Woo-hoo. Prostitute. A little bit strange. A prostitute is one of the stars in the famous people of the Word of God. And even though, you know, it almost is like, because you will see it throughout Scripture, it's almost like it's her last name. First name, Rahab. Middle name, the. Last name, prostitute. Well, I mean, because all throughout Scripture, this seems to be her label. And yet, she rose above it incredibly. In Joshua chapter 2 through 6, it records the history of her life. Let me just give you some quick notes. First of all, she lived in Jericho, the first city that Israel was to possess on the east side of Jordan. Second, as I said, we learn that she's a prostitute. Third, Scripture tells us that the two spies that Israel sent across the Jordan to get the lay of the land ended up, doesn't say how, but ended up at Rahab's house to spend the night. It's a little shifty, but nevertheless, they ended up in her house to spend the night. The king of Jericho heard the spies from Israel had come to check out the land. He also heard that they had gone to Rahab's. He said, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. The king sent the message to Rahab to bring out the men who had entered her house, but she had taken the two men and hid them on her roof. Her reasons for hiding them set her reputation. What I want you to see about Rahab is that a decision on a particular day, on one particular day, changed everything about her entire life and her reputation. You see, it's possible. You see, but oh, I've made so many mistakes. I've done so many things in my past. That's not as relevant as the decisions that you will make today. Her single action on a single day set the course of her entire life and reputation. Hebrews 11 and 31 records her reputation in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Listen to what it says. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Of all the men, of all the women, of all the people who walked by faith throughout the generations leading up to the writing of Hebrews chapter 11, Paul or whoever wrote the book reaches out and takes hold of this prostitute on a single day who believed God. Now, here's the traits that I see. She was a mother who feared the Lord. Listen to this. In Joshua chapter 2, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, hear this, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. I know that the Lord has given this land to you. That's a huge I know on her part. Because of her faith, because of her understanding that God was an awesome and powerful God, it caused her to make the decision that entirely changed her life. Please hear me. You can make decisions on a particular day of your life that can change your entire reputation. In Joshua 2:20, we learn that she is a mother who was trustworthy. Listen to this. But if you tell, the men said to her, if you tell what we're doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied, let it be as you say. What was the oath? The oath was, don't tell anybody that we were here. Now, please don't misunderstand this, but due to her profession, she would not have been considered to be one of the most trustworthy person. Are you with me? And so that is one reason why these guys would have said, can we trust you? And yet on this particular day, not only did she believe God, but she believed God enough to make her yes, yes. She established her word. She was trustworthy. Incredible trait for any mom. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says that she was saved because of her faith and because of her trustworthiness. That she was saved when everybody else in the whole city was destroyed. Now, come on, folks. That's a famous person. When the whole rest of the town, even the animals, were all killed. But she was saved. Why? Because she believed God was able. And she kept her word to the spies. James chapter 2, verse 25 takes her reputation another step. Listen to this. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? She acted upon her faith, and it was credited to her as righteousness. James tells us that Abraham believed God and it was credited unto him as righteousness. She was in incredible company here to be credited with righteousness because of this act of faith. Now, I want you to see that this is growing. Not only was she saved on that day, not only was she recognized in the New Testament, but it goes one step further. Because Rahab, the prostitute, became the mother of kings. She was the grandmother to King David. And if you look in Matthew's gospel, you will see that she is listed in the genealogy of Jesus. There are only two women who are listed there, not because the bloodline flowed through them, but because they were famous. Their reputation was such that they deserved to be in that lineage in Matthew chapter 1. It goes like this. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who is the Christ. Let me tell you something about our God. He can take the worst of the worst. He can take those whose reputation has been soiled by a lifetime of sin, a lifetime of rebellion, a lifetime that has tried everything in the world and has been run through the gutter. He can take that reputation and turn it to where he is proud to call that beautiful woman his child, his daughter. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. See, you know, I want you to realize, see, you're not everybody's Sarah. Just this side of sainthood. Husband who gave her up and all of this, and yet she believed even at 9 years old. Sometimes there are Rahabs. Sometimes mistakes have been made. Sometimes lives have been lived. Sometimes a reputation has already been soiled. Hear me this morning. God is able to change the reputation. And you know the beauty of it? It's just like with Rahab. It all happened in a single day. You know, we don't have any other information as to how she lived her life. We know this, that when Israel went in and destroyed all of Jericho, that the soldiers and the men were given specific orders to take care of Rahab and whoever was in her house. Hey, this is cool too, because not only did she save her own life, but she saved her whole household. Okay, so everybody that was in her household, they were saved because of her trust in God and her willingness to remain trustworthy before God. You say, oh, what's the difference? Why live a Christian life? What's the difference? Oh, there's a huge difference. Why give my heart and life to the Lord? There's a huge reason. Because everything changes when you and I give our lives over to the Lord. Again, all we have with this lady is that when they came in, they found her, and it says, then they took her, and it's very specific in the scripture, and it says, and she was camped outside of the camp of Israel. Well, I mean, after all, she was a person of Jericho. After all, she was a prostitute. So she's given a place outside the camp of Israel. But then if you keep reading, it speaks of her as part of the people of Israel. You see, that's just the way that the Lord does it. You know, we're outside His family. We're lost. Our reputation is soiled. If nothing else, by the sins of our lives, that becomes who we are. Oh, they're a cheat. Oh, they're a liar. Oh, they're a backbiter. Oh, they're a this. Oh, they're a that. And the Lord in a day can change all of that. Who are they? Well, I know they're a Christian. I know that they're professing Christ. What a label. What a reputation to have. That you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have been redeemed by His blood, and that you're on your way to heaven. Now, some may sneer at that, but let me tell you something. On the day where it really matters, the book will be opened up, and guess what? Our name will be written in the Lamb's, hear that, the Lamb's Book of Life. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. Ah, well, there's a reputation. I may not be everything that I need to be. I may fail and fall short, but my name's written down. Now, she wasn't alive to see what Matthew penned by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I try to imagine some of these things. You may not go there, but I try to imagine some of these things as Matthew is sitting down there and making this genealogy of Jesus, and all of a sudden he comes down to Rahab, the prostitute, and the Holy Spirit is prompting him to write this down, and he writes down Rahab the prostitute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, he hasn't put any other men's names in there because the bloodline flows through the men. Guess who prompted him to put it down? She's famous in heaven. Like another little prostitute who came in and took her most prized possession, broke it up, and poured it on the feet of Jesus. And everybody goes, "Whoa, what are you doing? This should have been taken and given to the poor." And if he only knew what kind of woman she was. And Jesus said, "Hold on just a second." He said, "None of you bothered to do what she has done. And so let me tell you what's going to happen with that little lady." He said, "Wherever the gospel is preached, her story is going to be told." Hallelujah. 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 Because see, moms, I'm talking about the transforming power of God. You may feel like you have failed along the way, but honey, don't give up, because God is in charge of your reputation. And if you put your life and your trust into His hands, and you will believe in Him, He's able to do anything. Oh, let me tell you real quickly about one more, and I'm not going to dig in too deep. If you'd like to read about Ruth, you can turn to a whole book that's just about her life. Now, come on, how cool is that? You'll want to start Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, okay? Joshua, Judges, and then her book. Pretty cool, right? I mean, listen to me. You know, there's only 66 books. How many verses, Steve? A lot. But it's pretty cool that she would get her own book. And especially, you know, she was not born of the tribe of Israel. She was a Moabitess, which, long story short, meant that she was from Lot's lineage, not Abraham. And the Moabites were not necessarily considered to be that famous in Israel, because when Israel needed them the most, they turned them away. When Israel was moving toward the promised land, they said, "Could we pass through? Just pass through your country. You know, we won't touch anything. We'll pay you for anything. You know, if one of our sheep eats some of your grass, we'll pay for it. And, you know, we'll bring our own food and our own water. We won't touch anything. Just let us pass through." They said, "No. So there was a little resentment between the Israelite people and the Moabites. But when Elimelech, you should try some of these names, they're great. When Elimelech, I'm not going to get it, when he saw that there was famine in the land, he took his family down to Moab, where he died and his sons died who had married Moabite wives. Can't go into the whole story, but you can read it for yourself. Ruth ends up moving forward with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Israel, where through the working of the Lord, she ended up marrying Boaz. And she and Boaz are part of that lineage. She was the grandmother to David. Anybody ever hear of David? So a Moabitess who was unclean, rejected, all of that, became the mother of King David. Listen to some of her reputation. Faithfulness to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Diligence in laboring in the field to provide for the two of them. Humility to accept the will of the Lord. Most scholars believe that Boaz may have been as much as two times her age. But her exaltation to become the great-grandmother of King David, mother of Obed, father of Jesse, the father of David. You know, folks, I just want you to know, ladies, mothers, women, we're working, all of us, on our reputation. And the decisions that we make in a single day can set the course for all of eternity. Sarah, the mother of Isaac and a nation, was a mother of promise, mother of submission, mother of faith. Rahab, the prostitute, the mother of kings, was a mother who feared the Lord, who was trustworthy, who was saved, and who was righteous. Ruth, the mother of renown, with her own book in the Bible, was faithful, diligent, and humble. All fantastic, beautiful traits. But the real question today is, what about you, Mom? What will be said of you in years to come? I'm sure you probably heard of Rose Kennedy, the mother of John F. Kennedy. She was quoted in her biography as saying, "Whenever I held my newborn baby in my arms, I used to think that what I said and did to him could have an influence not only on him, but on all whom he met. Not only for a day or a month or a year, but for all of eternity." A very, very challenging and exciting thought for a mother. You see, your decisions, the kind of life that you choose to live, will affect not just you, but can affect generations to come. I'm very thankful this morning that I have a mom who my whole life was a mother of faith. I know some of you can make that proclamation too. A mother who prayed. A mother who stayed faithful in her marriage and in her life. Why? Because I'm standing here before you today because of her. I believe that. Mothers of influence, mothers of reputation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. The angel of the church in Sardis writes, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I come to you. You know, it's one thing for us to have a reputation in this world of what people and how people remember us. It's going to be another thing for us to stand in the presence of the Lord. And I believe a lot of the other stuff is going to fall away. And when we stand there, we will stand there with the reputation of, did you believe God? Did you believe that Jesus died for you? Did you turn your life over to Him? If any man, any woman, be in Christ. Be in Christ. It's not just about saying a prayer at some point in time that says that, yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. It's about being in Christ. When we stand in His presence and we walk up to the judgment bar, that'll be the day that reputation matters. And you know, it will not matter. It will not matter how horrible our lives were before the day that we said yes to Jesus. So my prayer for you moms is that you would know Jesus. I mean, really know Jesus. Take hold of His promises like Sarah. Okay? Become so convinced in God like Rahab that you will hold true. And then let God exalt you like He did Ruth, and give you a name that only He knows. He has blessings for you, moms. You see, I wish today that I could call you, and I am going to call you up here to have prayer over you this morning, and we have gifts for you. But I wish this morning that, you know, I could go one by one and give you everything you desire. Just because I care about you. I mean that. I'd love to be able to just, each one of you, give you the greatest desire of your heart. Just walk up and say, what's your greatest desire? And you say, well, Pastor Bill, this is what it is. And I say, okay, that's what you have. Now, how cool would that be? Come on, church. Wouldn't it be cool? Okay. I know one who can. You know that? If you put your hope, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, He is able to give you even the desires of your heart. Why? Because He loves you. And He does a great job of taking care of those who belong to Him. Now, folks, I'm not saying that there won't be a surprise or two along the way. But if you'll trust Him, if you'll trust Him, in the very end, He will bring you out blessed like you couldn't believe.